name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. So, as I said in today's liturgy, we're now going through a fast. It's a fasting period because we are focusing on the apostles and their ministry and their lives, and this ministry having St. Paul as its patron, I want to look at one aspect of the lives of the saints. And that is something that I think is we all find very difficult. It's something that's quite deceptive for many of us, and that is prayer. Obviously, we all know, if I were to ask you what prayer is, you would tell me exactly what we all know, and that is, prayer is communication with God. And if it was only that simple, it would be great. The only problem is, it's not that simple. The problem is, sometimes we speak, and we feel like we're speaking to thin air. Sometimes we speak and feel like we're communicating, but we're not getting anything in return. And sometimes we just feel like we're not doing anything at all. So, I really want to look at the concept of prayer and what it is. Prayer is indeed communication with God. But the same concepts of any communication are those that apply to prayer. I can't imagine for someone to rush in through that back door, run in here, go up to one of you, start rattling sentences off, and then running out. First of all, you think this person is crazy. Secondly, you'd get nothing out of it. But that's exactly what we do with God. We go on with our busy lives, we do exactly what we need to do. Day by day, we just go on and on and on. And then suddenly we think, okay, it's that time. And that time usually comes when I've got a problem or a job interview or I've got someone who's ill or I need something for myself and so on and so forth. And when that time comes, I rush in through that door, I sit beside him and say, listen, before anything, I want this, 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 and this. And can't think of anything else, got to rush, need to go, I'll be back in touch when I need you, and rush out again. And it's no wonder we get nothing out of it. In any means of communication, that would not work. So what do we need to do? First of all, I think we need to have an idea of what we're trying to achieve. What do I want to do in prayer? Am I just going, you know, like I did when I was very young and heard, you know, Santa Claus was coming in a few days' time, sit down and make a nice little list and then rattle it off at the right time to my parents? Is that what we're going to be? Is that how our life is going to be? Surely we've matured in every aspect of our lives. And I think we've discussed this quite a few times. If you look at yourself academically, in terms of career, general knowledge, health, everything in our lives, we've actually matured in. We've progressed. If we didn't progress, we'd think there was something very wrong. But when it comes to our prayer life, I want you to compare the way you pray today to the way you prayed 10 years ago, to the way you prayed probably 15 years ago. And unfortunately, what we'll find in many of our situations is there's almost no change. The words may change, you know, I'm sure you don't say, you know, dear God, bless mommy and daddy and thank you for my nice bicycle. But it's something along those lines. It's something along those lines. It hasn't progressed. We haven't grown. What are we doing in prayer? The first thing is, Psalm 27 verses 8 and 9 say to us, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. So what are we seeking in prayer? We're seeking God himself. Lord, I'm not coming to you because I want anything from you. I'm coming to you because I want to engage with you. I want to deal with you. I hear you're a loving God. I hear you're a gracious God. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to spend time with you and to learn. I want to understand. And I don't just want to come superficially and say, you know what, yeah, I want to be with you. No, I want it from the depth of my heart. Because if we look at Psalm 130, verse 1, it reads, out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Lord, I'm not coming to you from a superficial place. I'm not coming to you on the surface. I'm not coming to you just because I have nowhere else to go. I'm coming to you because I'm seeking you. I want you. And I'm seeking you from a place within me that is not and cannot be filled by anything else. It's that place, that innermost place in us, that is created in the image and likeness of God, that is only satisfied by God. You all go out and you work every day. Yet, unfortunately, we often come back just as dissatisfied as we walked out. We feel like nothing's changed. We've benefited nothing. We've achieved nothing. And many of us chalk it up to just a dissatisfying job, or a bad relationship, or a difficult situation. We don't realize that it may be a wonderful job. It may be a great relationship. I may be doing everything right, but there's something missing. Has anyone ever had that feeling? You know, you don't know what's wrong, but something's missing. We always say it, something's missing. I don't want to sound all guru-ish and go up and sit on a mountain, but that something that's missing is, and I hate to say it, here it comes, it's deep within you. It is, it's that bit that needs nourishment only from God. You can try to fill it with whatever you want. It will not be filled. And so we need to seek God from the depth of our heart, as Psalm 130 says, and more so, Psalm 119 verse 10 says, not only am I seeking you from the depths, it says, with my whole heart I have sought you. How many of us really seek God with our whole heart? Our heart looks like, you know, a development plan for inner London at the moment. We're trying to maximize the use of every square millimeter of it. And our hearts are so divided and subdivided that there's no way I can simply say, I seek you with my whole heart. Because my heart is divided between work, and so it should be. Family, so it should be. Friends, likewise. Career, likewise. The house you want to buy, the kids you want to have, the car you want to have, the career move you want to have, all of those things. None of those things are wrong. None of those things are wrong. But they take significant parts of our heart. How much of my heart is focused on my career? How much of it is focused on relationship? How much of it is focused on my family? And again, they're all very noble, righteous things. We must seek those things. We must be good and faithful servants with everything we do. But there comes a time, when we must gather our forces and seek one thing. I'll tell you an interesting reflection. I was in the city here last Tuesday during the Jubilee celebrations. And the policing was incredible. I've spoken about this so many times. I'm just so impressed by it. The policing was seamless. It was very precise. The situation, everyone was very safe. And it worked very smoothly. But what did this mean? They pulled in police services from every part of the country to focus in one place because that's what it needed. That's exactly what we should do. Of course, our attention is split amongst lots of things. But there comes a time when something big is happening in my life that I need to gather absolutely everything and bring absolutely everything together and focus on one end. And when I come to pray, that's what I need to do. I need to focus my attention, focus my heart, focus my mind, focus my intentions, focus my desires, focus my aspirations, everything in one direction. The second thing, and that's one thing we heard in today's gospel, is when you're lost and you don't know where you go, what's the first thing you do? You stop and ask for directions. That's the It's just the best way. Well, I think statistics will have us believe that most women ask for directions. Men will just try to keep going where they're going and get more and more and more and more lost until the lady says, let's stop for directions. So just, otherwise, it's just an endless loop that, yes, I see lots of couples looking at each other and nodding. I'm not going to look at you so I don't embarrass you. But that's exactly what happens. Ask for directions. Today, what happened when our disciples sat with our Lord? They were there, they were reflecting, and they saw our Lord sitting reflectively. And they thought, he must be praying. We don't know how to pray. So what did they do? They went to him and said, and this is Gospel of St. Luke chapter 11, verse 2, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, I don't know how to pray. And I'm not ashamed of saying it, I don't know how to pray. So please teach me, how do I pray? You know what? Had the disciples not asked that question, what was our Lord's response? He said to them, and when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The prayer that we all say today. Had they not asked that question, they would not have received that answer, nor would we today have had that prayer. That instrumental prayer. Had they not asked, we wouldn't have that prayer today. So what we need to do is to realize that there's no problem in asking. But generally, I will ask only two types of people. Either people whom I know and I'm comfortable asking, or people who I don't know but I can trust. You know, you walk down the street, you see a police officer, you trust the office and you ask. You have a health issue, you go to a doctor, you trust a profession and you ask. So you don't necessarily know the person, but you trust the person. If I don't have a relationship with God, I am neither going to know him, nor am I going to trust him. So I'm not going to be able to ask. I won't be able to say, Lord, teach me to pray. And so it is a cycle. I spend time with God, and in spending time with him, I'm going to suddenly get an aspiration saying, you know what, I really do want to know. And I think I am sufficiently close now to be able to say, Lord, teach me to pray. The other thing about prayer that we've seen in the life of the apostles is that they don't do what many of us do. We get on with our lives. You'll get up in the morning, you'll rush out, you'll do your work all day, you'll have your business lunches, you'll speak to people, you'll make your phone calls, you'll meet people, you know, socially afterwards, and you'll come home and you'll have dinner and you'll make your phone calls and you'll watch the 6 o'clock news and then you'll watch whatever else you want to watch, and then you think, maybe I should pray. After a really long day, that just doesn't work. It's no wonder we nod off during prayer and we can't focus and we can't establish a link and all of that. And that's why Psalm 63, 1 says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Early will I seek you. And I don't mean just early in the day, although early in the day is a great time to pray. Early in the day is a wonderful time to focus and pray. But I mean early in our lives. We put things off and we keep thinking, we have all the time in the world. We'll pray eventually, we'll get to know God eventually, we'll dedicate our lives eventually, we'll do things eventually. But when we don't seek it early, we don't always have enough time because we're fixed into such a program then by that time that our lives become inflexible. And you all know it. The older we get, the more inflexible we become. We have these patterns of life that are set up and I can't put anything into it. So I can't fit God into a very rigid plan. It takes much more effort. Secondly, when I try to fit him in, there's an old saying about old dogs and new tricks, something like that. We can't learn as readily when we get older. It doesn't become as natural. You know, I would, one regret I have, I was just speaking to Fadi about yesterday, is that I never learned to play a musical instrument. I had the opportunity, and I could have, but I was a rebellious child and decided that I didn't want to. And now it comes back to really bother me, because I would love to be able to play a musical instrument, I'd love to be able to express myself that way. But there is no way on God's earth that I'm going to find either the time or the interest to be able to do it now. Because I just don't have the time, I don't have the flexibility. Prayer is very similar. If I don't do it from a young age, I just can't do it. And so we need to start that life of prayer as early as we can. We need to start it with a reflective nature, and with a nature that tells us that this is a time we want to spend with God, and not just time we have to spend with God. Because, you know, anything we have to do, we don't like doing. But anything we want to do, we enjoy. It gives us pleasure. So we're talking about seeking God and seeking His face. We're talking about seeking Him from the depth with our whole heart. We're talking about asking Him. We're talking about seeking Him early. But then this is the killer. This is the one thing that we really, really need to be aware of. And that is what? It's consistency. We lack consistency. There's an old joke, I'm sure you've all heard it, about a man who comes up to his friend and says, "You know what? You really need to give me a pat on the back, because I've stopped smoking." And he said, "No, that's great. I've stopped myself 4 times. Consistency. How many times have we wanted to start a wonderful, deep relationship with God? And we come out, you'll come out of a sermon like this, or a liturgy like this, or a Bible study, or just being touched by something someone said and think, "That's it, I've got to do it." And it lasts for the best part of a day, a week, a month, and then suddenly evaporates. Consistency is so important. That's why in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are told to pray without ceasing. And that can be taken in two ways, as in pray constantly, or pray regularly and consistently. Pray without ceasing. Make this a daily requirement. Make it part of your day. Make it part of what gives you life. Could you imagine going a day without eating or drinking or breathing or sleeping? There are certain essentials in our lives that we have to honor, because they are core to our existence. And until prayer becomes that time, until my time with God becomes that time that is core to my existence, it's always going to be an optional extra. You know, there are essentials and there are optional extras. And like when you're buying a car, you'll go through your finances and you will chop out many of the optional extras because you're streamlining. When we go through our lives, we chop out optional extras because we just don't have the time. I'll look at the essentials, the things that I must do, the things I have no control over, and the optional extras are cut out. And the more I think of prayer and my time with God as an optional extra, the more that will just go straight off the list, because I can live without it. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Be watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Persevere. We're a very fickle generation. We don't like persevering much with anything. Your car doesn't work, you don't go and get it fixed anymore, you look to upgrade it. Your computer doesn't work, you throw it out. Your phone doesn't work, you get another one. Your relationship doesn't work, you give up on it. We are that generation. We're that generation that wants to be gratified instantly, and if it doesn't work, everything is replaceable. So we don't have this concept of perseverance. If your spiritual life doesn't work, it doesn't matter. There are lots of other things that give me satisfaction and give me life other than that. But we must have that perseverance. So, I want to close with one verse that comes from Ephesians 6:18 that I've just read to you. And I want to read it again because I want you to place it well and truly before you. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So, first of all, we pray always. Secondly, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in the depths, not just on the surface, not just where it can get wiped off, not just where it can get easily dismissed, but in the Spirit, and with the Spirit of God, in that place it makes a difference. Be watchful to this end with all perseverance. We're not always watchful. You know what? We'll put alarm systems on our homes. We'll put security systems in our cars. We'll put password protection on our phones and computers. But on our own spiritual life, we just leave ourselves completely exposed to be attacked, to be defeated. We don't protect our hearts. We don't protect our minds. We don't protect our spirits. We leave ourselves vulnerable to absolutely everything around us. Because if we protect our hearts and our minds and our spirits, then God would be safe within us. But we leave ourselves open for those attacks. So in which case, we're not watchful to this end. We need to be watchful. We need to persevere and to supplicate always. That in this life of prayer, in this life of oneness with God, we can continue to grow, we continue to mature, we continue to advance, and that we grow into that image and likeness of God that we started with, and that one day we will end with in His kingdom as He's always desired us. And glory be to God forever. Amen.